I, had a very difficult childhood. I ended up being bulimic, and that I struggled with that for many years until I found that drugs helped me with that problem and helped me with my social anxiety. And it was fun for a while, and I could afford it because I got into sex work and then stripping and did all those seedy sort of things to get by. And my drug use was like anyone else's, became pretty sad and lonely. It was fun at times, but gradually it became more isolating, and I found I was no one else used like me, so I was using alone. And I came to NA early on when I was about 22. And people say you get to NA, you don't get to NA by accident. But me being me, I stuck around for about 8 years and got about a year up a couple of times, and I was young and people were old in NA according to my age at the time, and they talked about God and I couldn't stand it. I just thought it was a religious cult, and so I left and I got on a methadone program. And I tried other things. And during the methadone program, though, I was drinking, but I was doing things to not a too bad, I was semi-functional and I was able to get a couple of degrees under my belt at university. And I still remained doing stripping and sex work and anything else I could do to get money. And after I finished my degrees, I went full on back into using instead of using my degrees to get jobs, because I couldn't function in the world. Even though I'd sort of had clean time, I was a dry drunk or a dry addict. I couldn't function properly. So, I came back to NA a couple of times, still heard the word God and still used that as an excuse to not be a part of NA. But I could always see that people had gotten clean and some people were atheists and they showed me that it worked. So eventually, 30 years later, after the 22, that 20, 30, 42, 52, yeah, around 49, I think I got back to NA and got about 8 years up. I did the steps and my life changed and I got another degree and a master's. And I started working in normal, in a good job, like in mental health. And I did well until I just got a bit bored and I was still hearing God and I was thinking, although the program's good, this God stuff, I can't bear listening to it. And then I left and I had a big relapse on alcohol. And because I'd thought I never had a problem with alcohol, and I thought alcohol wasn't really a drug at that time. And I ended up in a rehab and I nearly lost my very good job. I had a job pretty, I had a senior role. And I had to take a good 6 to 8 weeks off to go to rehab and detox and rehab. And I then decided to get a secular sponsor, and secular NA had come out at the time. and I stuck with secular NA, although I still did do some mainstream meetings. But I had this secular sponsor who said, "You can do the steps, and I am with you. I don't believe in God, and you don't have to, and you can have your own higher power. It can be the group, it can be." And I decided it would be my higher self when I'm alone. Like, it's good enough to say it can be the group when you're in a meeting and listen to others and get answers from them. But on my own, what was I going to use as a higher power? And I decided that it within myself, all my life, I'd wanted to be a successful person in life and have dreams and aspirations to function, without the anger. I was a ball of anger. I would have fights with shopping center owners. I would get so angry that I would just wipe everything off the counter onto the floor and say, "You're all fucked," and walk out. And I never got charged with any property damage. I did have a lot of court appearances for drugs and drug-related crimes and things, trafficking and that sort of thing early on. But I'd passed all that. And I did the steps by first accepting my powerlessness and unmanageability. And it was the internal unmanageability more than the external, because by then I'd gotten my own place and I had a job and I was functional. But internally, I was emotionally a wreck. I wasn't over my anger. I wasn't able to be loving towards other people, compassionate. I didn't have skills in life to interact, interpersonal effectiveness. I had no distress tolerance, and I had no emotional regulation. And then I got to step two and could see that insanity within myself. And having to come to believe in a power greater than myself to restore me to sanity, I believed in my higher self that could restore me to sanity if I kept working through the steps with my secular sponsor. And use the rooms as a place to share my story to help others, but also to listen to their stories to help me. And in that way, I began to get some sanity back in my life. And then I got to step three and I worked that and I shared that with my sponsor. And I was able to not turn over my anything to a higher power, but to let go of my control of my life, of people, places, things, let go of control. And I used letting go as my catchphrase in step three rather than turning it over to a power greater than myself. And I would use the rooms to turn over my problems when I shared and listen for answers in the room. So I would do that. And then step four, I was able to get rid of my past. I was able to write down all my resentments, all my sexual encounters, all my fears, all the cranky things I'd done in my life, and share them with my sponsor and believe that that was internalizing into my higher self and sharing it with the part of me that always wanted to be clean and consolidate that in my higher self, consolidate that within me. And then in 6 and 7, I was able to draw up a list of people and, oh no, of my, whatever you want to call them, character defects or flaws or the things that I knew held me back and that came from my step five, that was stopping me from moving forward in getting a better life. And, really make a list of them. And then in step seven, really talk about them and see how I was going to change each one by through spiritual principles, which I call them spiritual principles. Some people have a problem with that word. I also call them ethical principles. I don't really have a problem with the word spiritual because I don't believe it belongs in religion. I think it's something that's it's just a word that describes, good behavior, compassionate behavior, living a life where I can talk to other people in a respectful way, and I can take feedback and criticism and use that as a strength to change my ways. And steps 8 and 9. 8 was good because I could list all the people I needed to make amends to, people, places, and things, or not things, but places like the police, shopping centres that I'd stolen from, and like the government, and but lots of people, and they were family, they were friends, they were addicts that I'd stolen from, they were just all sorts of people. And in step 9, I made different ways of making amends. Some were like writing letters to people that I wasn't going to send, people that I couldn't, that it would harm them if I got in touch, or it would harm me, or they weren't available, I couldn't find them. And mostly the biggest thing was making amends to my family. I made amends by living clean, but I also made amends by verbally saying to them all the wrongs I'd done and that I was sorry for that and that my behaviour would change from now on. And they could see that it was changing. So my family had made me estranged for 10 years and didn't want to put up with my antics. I was that bad. I probably haven't explained how terrible I was to my family. Every time I went, I would cause a disruption, a big fight. Police would be called. There were melees at one point where hair was pulled and punches were thrown at a party of mine. It was just dramatic and horrible. And I was able to apologize to my mum and dad for that, even though they had a part in it, but it wasn't my place to show them their part. It was my place to be sorry for what my part was in it. And so I did this all without God. There was no God involved. And I made amends to shopping centres for the supermarkets and stuff by making donations to places that I felt were valuable to me. They were special to me. So I'd make donations and in that way pay my money back to for what I'd taken from the stores. And the other thing was what was I going to say? I made financial amends to my family as well. And the funny thing was, they ended up helping me buy a house. They ended up giving me $10,000 towards the deposit for my place I'm in now. So that money came back to me. But it was just amazing the things that happened in step nine. I wrote letters to my mum that I did send, and she eventually responded and said, "Yes, I will see you." This was after the 10 years of estrangement. And that's when I was able to build up a relationship with my mum. And my mum and I became so close, and my dad, but more so my mum. And we went away on a long trip, a 7, 8 week trip to, no, a 6 week trip, sorry, to Scandinavia. And we went together, and she came to I'd been doing a PhD, and I was sharing my research in Denmark, and she came and watched me present and was really proud of me, and we had the most awesome time. And it was not long after that that she passed away. We'd been to a play, and I took her to this play, and it was a comedy, and it was called Bloom. It was a comedy about aging and going into nursing homes, and but it was a comedy. It was very funny, although it sounds a bit sort of dark. And on the way home in the train, she said, "Oh, Janice, I'd never want to die in a nursing home. I want to die peacefully and quickly." And 2 days later, she had a massive stroke, and she did die quickly and peacefully. So she got her wish, but it was way too early. She was only 79. She was fit. She was healthy. She played bowls. She was a beautiful woman by then, and not the woman that I grew up with, and I miss her greatly. But I'd made my peace with her, and now my father is alone, and he's my greatest support, and he got to come to my PhD graduation, and we're very close, and I still make living amends to him. And I spend time with him a lot. When I got to step 10, I managed to find a way that worked for me, that I would, on a daily basis, just go through at night my day. And if there was anything that I'd acted inappropriately, and there has been, I mean, I did hit a man in the park when I was walking my dog. He let his dog off the lead, and his dog kept chasing my dog and snapping at it. And it was such a big, she was running. And I fell over her backwards, and that man laughed at me. And laughing at me in a shame, and I feel shame, I feel anger. And then I got up and I just went over to him, and I got his hat off him, and I hit him on the head. And I just felt terrible about myself. But At the time, I felt like he deserved it. But, that had to go into my step 10. And I talked to my sponsor about it. And, to be, I think I was 4 years clean. And I did that to him. And I'm not yet 5 years clean. So that wasn't that long ago. So doing the steps doesn't make one perfect, but, or it hasn't made me perfect. But, I still slip up and do the wrong thing sometimes, but I make amends and I have intended to make amends to that man, but I've never seen him again. And so step 10 is an ongoing thing that I do in my life, although at the moment I'm going through the steps again for a second time. 11 and 12. So 11, I don't think it's anything to do with God. I do believe in meditation. I do some meditation. I do yoga as well. And I sit with myself and just close my eyes and I have an app on and it's silent most of the time, but it'll get me into it and then it will give me time to just breathe and focus on breathing. There's different breathing styles, I'm sure you all know, and I do that and that's really important and helps me center myself, and especially after I've done something that isn't within my ethical principles. And have I got any time yet? No. And so I think that step 11, I work with newcomers as well. And with my sponsees, I use meditate. I don't use prayer, but I do think the Serenity Prayer is a good prayer. I think it's a good affirmation sort of thing. I use the word dog at the beginning of it. I say, "Dog, grant me the serenity." And that works for me. I don't mind that affirmation. And at mainstream meetings, I just use the word dog. And I don't want to say the word, the other word, the G word, And so I then, in working step 12, I've got four sponsees that are doing very well. And I talk to them when they ring me, and I ring them at times and take them through the steps. And they've been really good in doing the steps. But my first round of the steps this time in recovery, I did within a year. And I wanted to get them through because I wanted a big personality change, which I got. And in step 12, I do give my number to the newcomer. I can't take any more sponsees on because four's enough working. Oh, right. Four time's up. So four's enough working at the moment, but that's how I work step 12. I mainly talk to sponsees and take them through the steps, and my life is really good, and I am a doctor, so one, so an addict can, get somewhere in life and have a good life. So thank you for listening. I am sorry if I went over time. Thank you.